rapid march of events which began on Monday when Mr. Nixon announced that he concealed evidence of an early role in the Watergate cover-up seems, Robert Pierpoint, to lead to only one conclusion. That President Nixon, when he speaks in about 5 minutes, will announce that he is becoming the first man to resign the presidency of the United States.
That's right, Neil. There isn't any real doubt here as to what the president is going to do. He is going to announce tonight his resignation. We're not exactly sure of all of the details. They've been worked out during the day. We don't think the resignation will take effect until sometime tomorrow. Legally, as you know, it has to be handed in letter form to the Secretary of State, and we understand that that will happen tomorrow while the president and some members of his family are on an Air Force plane on their way to California. At least that is the plan that we have been told the president has been drawing up, so that by the time he lands in California, the letter of resignation will be in the hands of the Secretary of State. Officially, the new president will be sworn in shortly thereafter. All that, as far as we can tell now, will take place tomorrow.
What would be the president's mood at this time, Bob?
We have not seen the president all day. We can't really be sure. Obviously, whatever he feels, he is a very strong person. He's keeping it pretty much to himself. One of our correspondents, Connie Chung, did talk about that very subject of the president's mood with Stephen Bull, one of the president's aides, about an hour and a half ago. And Connie, what did Steve Bull have to say?
Bull has seen the president, and he said the president is, quote, unbelievably serene. Although Bull would not definitely say that the president had decided to resign, he said that the president had no second thoughts about his decision. He called the president's mood distraught yesterday, but not today. He said the president was disturbed yesterday when he was agonizing over his decision. He called the president somewhat placid, but he said he's an amazing man because he has come to this decision and is sticking with it. Bull was asked what he plans to do, and he said he will stick with the president as long as he wants him around, as long as he needs him. And he said he would go to California with the president tomorrow, along with presidential press secretary Ronald Ziegler.
I suppose, Bob, that the day of Vice President Ford would also be a good tip-off on what's going to happen. Of course, he met with Mr. Nixon this morning. Immediately thereafter, canceled a Western swing. Met with his top aides. He met with Secretary of State Henry Kissinger and issued a statement thereafter through his press spokesman, which seemed to be aimed at assuring the nations of the world that he will support the Nixon foreign policy.
Which is, of course, very important at this particular juncture. We're always concerned that our adversaries might strike in some way at the United States while the United States is in a moment of transition or crisis. I would like to point out one other thing, and that is that the new press secretary is going to be replacing Mr. Ziegler, will be working for Gerald Ford as president, will be gentleman from Detroit named Jerry Terhorst, about whom the American public is going to be hearing much in the next days and weeks. Mr. Terhorst is planning to meet with Mr. Ziegler here tonight, and that part of the transition is already underway.
And of course, there are questions as to who will be the new vice president under Gerald Ford. CBS News asked Republican Senator Charles Percy if he would take the job.
Of course, I have every reason to believe every other single person on any list he may have would accept readily. I can't imagine any American turning him down now for any post that he should ask them to undertake to help bring this country together again.
And that was Charles Percy, who is said to be on a list of 14 drawn up by Ford staff. This is Neil Strauser with Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, Washington. Shortly, President Nixon will speak. CBS News will offer a summary and analysis following the address. Also standing by is Leslie Stahl at the home of Vice President Ford. He may make an informal appearance following the speech. And in New York, standing by are correspondents Reed Collins and Charles Osgood with their observations and reaction from around the country and the world to what we expect to hear, that President Nixon is resigning. The president is said to have been working on this speech up to the last minute. There is no advance text available. We hear only that the address will last 15 or 20 minutes. Mr. Nixon will speak from the Oval Office in the White House. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening. This is the 37th time I have spoken to you from this office, where so many decisions have been made that shaped the history of this nation. Each time I have done so to discuss with you some matter that I believe affected the national interest. In all the decisions I have made in my public life, I have always tried to do what was best for the nation. Throughout the long and difficult period of Watergate, I have felt it was my duty to persevere, to make every possible effort to complete the term of office to which you elected me. In the past few days, however, it has become evident to me that I no longer have a strong enough political base in the Congress to justify continuing that effort. As long as there was such a base, I felt strongly that it was necessary to see the constitutional process through to its conclusion, that to do otherwise would be unfaithful to the spirit of that deliberately difficult process, and a dangerously destabilizing precedent for the future. But with the disappearance of that base, I now believe that the constitutional purpose has been served, and there is no longer a need for the process to be prolonged. I would have preferred to carry through to the finish, whatever the personal agony it would have involved. And my family unanimously urged me to do so. But the interests of the nation must always come before any personal considerations. From the discussions I have had with congressional and other leaders, I have concluded that because of the Watergate matter, I might not have the support of the Congress that I would consider necessary to back the very difficult decisions and carry out the duties of this office in the way the interests of the nation will require. I have never been a quitter. To leave office before my term is completed is abhorrent to every instinct in my body. But as president, I must put the interests of America first. America needs a full-time president and a full-time Congress, particularly at this time with problems we face at home and abroad. To continue to fight through the months ahead for my personal vindication would almost totally absorb the time and attention of both the president and the Congress in a period when our entire focus should be on the great issues of peace abroad and prosperity without inflation at home. Therefore, I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office. As I recall the high hopes for America with which we began this second term, I feel a great sadness that I will not be here in this office working on your behalf to achieve those hopes in the next 2.5 years. But in turning over direction of the government to Vice President Ford, I know, as I told the nation when I nominated him for that office 10 months ago, that the leadership of America will be in good hands. In passing this office to the Vice President, I also do so with a profound sense of the weight of responsibility that will fall on his shoulders tomorrow, and therefore of the understanding, the patience, the cooperation he will need from all Americans. As he assumes that responsibility, he will deserve the help and the support of all of us. As we look to the future, the first essential is to begin healing the wounds of this nation, to put the bitterness and divisions of the recent past behind us, and to rediscover those shared ideals that lie at the heart of our strength and unity as a great and as a free people. By taking this action, I hope that I will have hastened the start of that process of healing which is so desperately needed in America. I regret deeply any injuries that may have been done in the course of the events that led to this decision. I would say only that if some of my judgments were wrong, and some were wrong, they were made in what I believed at the time to be the best interest of the nation. To those who have stood with me during these past difficult months, to my family, my friends, to many others who joined in supporting my cause because they believed it was right, I will be eternally grateful for your support. And to those who have not felt able to give me your support, let me say, I leave with no bitterness toward those who have opposed me. Because all of us, in the final analysis, have been concerned with the good of the country, however our judgments might differ. So let us all now join together in affirming that common commitment and in helping our new president succeed for the benefit of all Americans. I shall leave this office with regret at not completing my term, but with gratitude for the privilege of serving as your president for the past 5.5 years. These years have been a momentous time in the history of our nation and the world. They have been a time of achievement in which we can all be proud. Achievements that represent the shared efforts of the administration, the Congress, and the people. But the challenges ahead are equally great, and they too will require the support and the efforts of the Congress and the people working in cooperation with the new administration. We have ended America's longest war, but in the work of securing a lasting peace in the world, the goals ahead are even more far-reaching and more difficult. We must complete a structure of peace so that it will be said of this generation, our generation of Americans, by the people of all nations, not only that we ended one war, but that we prevented future wars. We have unlocked the doors that for a quarter of a century stood between the United States and the People's Republic of China. We must now ensure that the one quarter of the world's people who live in the People's Republic of China will be and remain not our enemies, but our friends. In the Middle East, 100 million people in the Arab countries, many of whom have considered us their enemy for nearly 20 years, now look on us as their friends. We must continue to build on that friendship so that peace can settle at last over the Middle East, and so that the cradle of civilization will not become its grave. Together with the Soviet Union, we have made the crucial breakthroughs that have begun the process of limiting nuclear arms. But we must set as our goal not just limiting, but reducing and finally destroying these terrible weapons so that they cannot destroy civilization, and so that the threat of nuclear war will no longer hang over the world and the people. We have opened a new relation with the Soviet Union. We must continue to develop and expand that new relationship, so that the two strongest nations of the world will live together in cooperation rather than confrontation. Around the world, in Asia, in Africa, in Latin America, in the Middle East, there are millions of people who live in terrible poverty, even starvation. We must keep as our goal turning away from production for war, and expanding production for peace, so that people everywhere on this earth can at last look forward in their children's time, if not in our own time, to having the necessities for a decent life. Here in America, we are fortunate that most of our people have not only the blessings of liberty, but also the means to live full and good, and by the world's standards, even abundant lives. We must press on, however, toward a goal not only of more and better jobs, but of full opportunity for every American. And of what we are striving so hard right now to achieve, prosperity without inflation. For more than a quarter of a century in public life, I have shared in the turbulent history of this era. I have fought for what I believed in. I have tried, to the best of my ability, to discharge those duties and meet those responsibilities that were entrusted to me. Sometimes I have succeeded, and sometimes I have failed. But always, I have taken heart from what Theodore Roosevelt once said about the man in the arena whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, because there is not effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deed, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumphs of high achievements, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. I pledge to you tonight that as long as I have a breath of life in my body, I shall continue in that spirit. I shall continue to work for the great causes to which I have been dedicated throughout my years as a congressman, a senator, vice president, and president. The cause of peace, not just for America, but among all nations. Prosperity, justice, and opportunity for all of our people. There is one cause, above all, to which I have been devoted, and to which I shall always be devoted for as long as I live. When I first took the oath of office as president 5.5 years ago, I made this sacred commitment to consecrate my office, my energies, and all the wisdom I can summon to the cause of peace among nations. I've done my very best in all the days since to be true to that pledge. As a result of these efforts, I am confident that the world is a safer place today, not only for the people of America, but for the people of all nations, and that all of our children have a better chance than before of living in peace rather than dying in war. This, more than anything, is what I hoped to achieve when I sought the presidency. This, more than anything, is what I hope will be my legacy to you, to our country, as I leave the presidency. To have served in this office is to have felt a very personal sense of kinship with each and every American. In leaving it, I do so with this prayer. May God's grace be with you in all the days ahead.